Always had to be a little something go wrong, right? We knew when we came here we wasn't perfect. Amen. But I tell you what, God still loves us. That's the amazing part, isn't it? And I thought what a privilege it was to come to the house of the Lord today that we just offer praise to an almighty God. I mean a God that loves us and cares for us and takes care of our needs when we don't even know we need it. You know, and he takes care of a lot of these things. And I love that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." I'm in hopes, and my prayer is that everybody here could answer that. It's well with my soul. Because that's what matters. I mean, that in the end times, and when it's all over and finished, that's what's going to make a difference. It's well with my soul. That's where we want to be. And so I'm going to look at a few verses of Scripture today. Glad to see everybody come this way. If you're visiting with us, just settle in, make yourself at home. I've got a thing. I don't preach long. Short and sweet. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
There you go. We don't care how long it takes. Let's look at the Word of God. I want to talk a little bit this morning about things that God has given us and things that God has done for us. I just want to touch a few. You know, it's just there's no way you could write them all down and record them, the things that God has taken care of and gave us through our lives. And so I want to mention just a few of the things that God gives us. And then I want to talk about a few things that we can give God. And so I want you to think about this as we're going through it. I mean, you know, you're thinking, well, now we're talking about God. What would he need from me? Well, it gives us an opportunity in several things that we can offer something to. We can offer praise. We can give honor. And there's a few other things. But let's first talk about a few of the things that God gives us. And as I thought about these things, I guess the very first thing I'd want to list, if I were making a list down of things that God gave to me, God has given to you, God has given to the whole world, first thing, you know, I guess I'd like to talk about would be mercy and love. And I want you to think about just a few minutes about the mercy and the love that God extended us. And I thought how wonderful it is, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 is very plain. It said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he hath loved us." And so we're have the account that God had truly loved us and still does. You know, we know God don't change. So when we start thinking about things and gifts from God, number one in my life would be love and mercy. Because without that, I'd still be lost and undone without Jesus Christ in my life. So I'm going to give account to God about the love and mercy that he not only showed to me, but he showed to the whole world. All I got to do is accept. Amen. Love and mercy. Think about these things that God had done for us. Isn't it a good thing that you could stand to your feet, raise your hand, and say, "God loves me"?
Amen.
And then I think about in my own situation, I'd be standing there and I'd say, "God loves me regardless."
Amen.
Woo! Then it gets really special. I'm talking about that God can look down, and because of the cover and the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he can look down and say, "I love him."
Amen.
And so when we get thinking about this, you know, it's very plain in Ephesians 2 and 5, another verse there, it said, "Even when we were in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved." And so we start talking about the grace and the love of God that's extended even when we were in our sin, even when we weren't children of God. God loved us.
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, it's something we need to tell the world about, that God loves this world.
Amen.
Although it's sinful, although it's ungodly, but God unconditionally loves this world. I'm telling you, it's not something we earned. I didn't even deserve it. I'm not going to answer for you. But I didn't even deserve it. But God loved me anyway.
Amen.
He loved me enough one day that he condemned me of my sins. Told me and showed me that I needed a Savior in my life. And we'll get down to that in a minute. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you start giving credit to God and what he's done, that eternal life stands real high, don't it? We'll talk about that just in a little while. But we start thinking about these things. And in verse 6 in Ephesians, it was talking about, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I thought about raising us up together, making us sit together in heavenly place. I believe we're here. The reason I believe you're here today is that God has directed you and gave you the ability, the health, and the strength to come out from your house and attend this church, this place of worship. And I believe we could, if we'll let the Spirit of God lead, we can get in one of those heavenly places that it was spoken of in Ephesians, that God had brought us out, put us together, lifted us up, set us in heavenly places. I believe church is a glimpse of what's to come. Sometimes we see a glimpse of heaven through this, can't we? We go into this a lot of times. And you know, there's one thing y'all know if you've been around me much. I'm big on joy. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm big on joy. It said the joy of the Lord is our strength. You want a stronger church? Fill it with joy. You want a better life? Fill it with joy.
Amen.
Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And you know, and we start thinking about the joy of the Lord, it's something that God gave to us. And it said that joy that he gives, no man can take from us. So beyond, no matter what any of y'all think or whatever you try, you can't take away the joy that God has given to me. And I can't take away the joy that God has given to you. And a lot of times we're allowing people too much power and too much influence. If they're robbing of us of our joy, God says that's not possible. So we don't need to give them that much power and influence in our lives. I've got joy of the Lord and you can't take it away.
Amen.
You've got joy of the Lord and I can't take it away. And it goes down in John chapter 15, St. John 15, 11. These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Now you think about what God has given us in joy. He said, I've given you my joy. And said, and I've made it so it might remain in you. And it goes down and it talks about that your joy might be full. I'd love to see a church one time full of joy, wouldn't you? I mean, starting down on the floor and stack it all the way up to the ceiling and from this wall to that wall, that it was filled with the joy of God. And people worshiping and praising him and giving him the credit for all the good things they've done in their life. God's never done anything bad to me. He's done good. Now, I've had some chastisement through life, but it was good.
Amen.
If it corrects you, it's good.
Amen.
Not something I seek to go through again, but it's good. I want to make a statement here. Have y'all ever thought about some of the hard things and the bad things and the tribulations and trials and turmoils that we go through in this life? Well, we know from Scripture, it said man born a woman is few days and full of trouble. So if you hadn't got trouble today, you probably will tomorrow or before the week's over, no doubt. But I get thinking about, you know, how God can take some of these hard things and these bad situations and times that we don't want to go through, but how he can take some of these things and turn them into joy. Now, you're talking about how can sadness be turned into joy? By the power of God. That's how. I'm telling you, if you'll let God have control and let God work in your life, some of these hard situations, some of these things that you're sorrowful in can be turned into joy. We've got the word of God in St. John chapter 16 and verse 20. It was very plain. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy.
Amen.
Praise God for the promise that he's just given to everybody sitting here. I'm telling you, he gave it to the world that you might be sorrowful today, you might be sorrowful for several days, but he says God can turn that sorrow into joy, so he can change situations in your life.
Amen.
Gifts from God. Something that God has given us. I love these thoughts, don't y'all?
Yeah.
You think about it. You may be here today sorrowful. Let God work in your life. Let him change that to joy. Joy is a powerful thing. Have you ever thought about the limits God puts on things that he allows to happen to us? Have you ever considered that? I do sometimes. I don't know. Maybe I think different from everybody else, you know. But I think sometimes, well, this didn't happen to me. You know, but I deal with a lot of people with a lot of problems. And I might be dealing with a certain person or a situation that they've got a problem. And I go away and I think, well, God's blessed me that I didn't have to go through that. Sometimes we don't realize just how much God gives and God controls situations and things that happen in our life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And so God limits sometimes what happens to us. I believe he limits sicknesses. I believe he limits accidents. I believe he limits heartaches and sorrow. Sometimes he said, "I don't want them to go through that. I'm going to make a way of escape." Have you ever thought about God making a way for you to escape and get out of something before you ever get into it?
Amen.
Now we're talking about things that God does for us as his children. Now let's get it right down to the very point. I'm thankful all these things happened in my life. But one of the most I'm thankful for is that God saved me one day.
Amen.
By his grace. His son died on the cross of Calvary. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, when we start praising and giving God thanks for things he's done in our life, I want you to know this is a very important thing to me, that I've got eternal life from the promise of God because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And all I had to do, I accepted that. I believe that. I believe Jesus was the Son of God. I believe Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. I believe his blood is sufficient for the sins in my life. And so when we start talking about giving praise to God for things he's given us, I'm telling you, if you have eternal life, you ought to be eternally grateful to a God that gave it to you, because you didn't earn it. And I'm going to tell you, we didn't deserve it, but God saw fit to give it to us. So things that God gave to us. I want one more that really touches me a lot of times. I talk to a lot of people, come contact a lot of people, and a lot of times a preacher will come out in me, and I'll ask them about how they are with the Lord. You know, so how do you stand with God? You know, if God required your life, how would you stand with God? And I get a lot of different answers. You know, I get some of them that don't know, and some of them don't understand, and I think one of the greatest gifts God gave us was this word that he gave us, that we may know that we have eternal life. Eternal life shouldn't be a question whether you do or not. You ought to know. And God gives us the ability. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13 deals with that. In verse 11 it said, "And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And so we're looking at this. I'm thankful that not only I have eternal life, but I've got a record from God recording and showing me that that's an absolute. There's no guessing about it. There's no misunderstanding about it. I either know if I have got it or I hadn't got it. So God gives us this record. He said, "They've given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And so the qualifications are right there. You got Jesus, you got life. You don't have Jesus, you don't have life. That's not my opinion. That's not my word. This is the word of God. And so where we need to come to the conclusion, God gave this gift of his Son on the cross of Calvary. Have we received it? Verse 13, it said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." And so he gave us this record that we can know, we can be assured that we either do or we don't. And then down in verse 13, he said, I've written these things that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so things that God gives us, special things in life. Let's talk just for a few minutes on what we can do for God. You know, there's a lot of thoughts come to mind when we start talking about what we can do for God. What does God need from us? He's God. He created us. He created this world. But he gave us an opportunity in certain situations that things we can do for God. Wouldn't you like to leave out of here today and say, I've done something for God? Think about the privilege that God gives us, the opportunity that he gives us in this life that we could do something for God. A lot of things come to mind. You know, church comes to mind, teaching, preaching, singing. I don't know. I could go down a great big list. But I want to cover some of the things that Scripture definitely speaks of. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, we're going to talk about some things that we can do for God. Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to start in verse 31. I'll give you time to turn there. As we go through this, I want you to have this in mind. Would you want to do something for God? That you take that privilege that he's given us and not just carry it around, but you actually do something for God? Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Talking about a time yet to come. This hadn't happened, but it's a time that's guaranteed will come. We had a discussion I did with a young man yesterday. We was talking about when the Lord's coming back, and we were talking about pre, mid, or post-tribulation. And I said the main thing is that we know that the Lord is coming back. It's going to happen. Jesus coming back. And so this is talking about when that happened. In verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them that is on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now that's where we need to be striving, to be on the right hand of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm talking about you're going to get that way because the belief in him, belief in what he did on the cross of Calvary was sufficient. And before this separation ever takes place, I'm telling you, you can be prepared today to come as a sheep and not a goat. And verse 35, it said, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hungered or fed thee or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? I want you to notice he listed a lot of things that happened to us in this life. You know, that this could happen to any one of us tomorrow. This could begin. We could be sick. We could be in prison. We could be thirsty. We could be hungry. We could be cold and naked. All these things. And he used this illustration to go through to let us know so we could be and comprehend that these things could also happen to us as individuals in Christ Jesus. And so when they came down and they began asking, said, when did we do any of this for you? We don't understand. And in verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. You want to do something for God? Do something for your brother. Do something for your sister. You want to have credit in heaven about you've done something for God? This is dealing. Now you're saying that's Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These agree in one. Amen. You got one, you got them all. You want to do something for God? Do it to Jesus. That'll be all right. And he was talking about that if you've done it unto one of the least, you've done it unto me. You want an opportunity in this life to do something for God, treat your brother and sister right. I preached at one time, a man told me, he said, that's hard preaching. I said, that's true.
Amen.
I didn't disagree. But it's the Word of God. All these things that God does for us. And then he gives us this opportunity, we can do something for God.
Amen.
And it's going to be done through your brother or your sister. I think about this. When it says that, he said it. In that you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brother, you've done it unto me. What an opportunity we have. Oh, how great an opportunity we have that we do something for God. I hope I can leave you with that word today, that you'll go away and thank, praise the Lord. I'm glad to come down there to worship and praise an almighty God. I hope you go away and say, I'm glad I attended today. I've learned something. I got something out of it. Because my power is that the Spirit of God touch every heart and every soul here. That you don't go away the same as you came in. You go away changed and different because you've come in contact with God here at this place today. When you contact God and come in touch with His Spirit, I'm telling you, there ought to be a change in you. God don't change. If there's a change, guess who's going to do it? It's not going to be God. It's going to be us. That's where the change comes. Y'all stand. We're going to be dismissed. Good to see everybody come this way today. If you're visiting with us, glad you came. Come anytime you can. We're going to close this service a little bit different today, but I tell you, good to see everybody. My prayers are for you. I hope you can go away saying peace like a river. You know, you got that peace of God in your heart. That's what it amounts to. I hope you go away today saying, I think I'll do something for God this afternoon. And you call your sick neighbor. Or you, by the way, stepped aside family. And just let them know you're thinking about them, care for them, and love them. You want to do something for God? Do it to one of the least. You think about that. Wouldn't you like to let God know that you love Him and care for Him? Do it to one of the least. That's pretty simple, isn't it? We try to make this thing too hard. It's pretty simple. Amen. Any word, anything before we dismiss? Anybody? Randy Holt didn't get a good result. Cancer has spread to his liver. Need to be prayed for him. He can continue to pray. He's going to continue the chemo and the treatments he's taking. And I think probably even increase and do something different than that. But everybody pray for him. All right. Lord, thank you, Father, for the day you've blessed us with and the opportunity to come to this place that we worship and praise you. I thank you, God, for giving us the word that leads us and guides us through this life that can show us the better way. God, we're going to give you praise for all things you've done for us and all the gifts that you give us each and every day. God, we praise you in those things. We ask, God, that you go with us, each one of us as an individual, that, Father, you watch over us and take us to our homes and places of safety. And, God, just continue to encourage us, uplift us, give us strength to move forward for the cause of Christ. Dear God, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.